We invite you in every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time to Goddess Unleashed with Diane Vick. Join her as she spreads her powerful story to shed light on the disease process from a unique perspective. Diane has a master's in nursing, is a hypnotist and health coach. One of her favorite statements is, "Your medical history doesn't have to be your fate." She proved this inspirational message by overcoming her own debilitating genetic condition. She uses her personal experience and expertise to connect the conventional and alternative realms of medicine. Diane's goal is to spread her knowledge to bridge the gap between these two distinctly different realms of medicine. Diane says, "Let's thrive together as we develop a mind, body, and soul connection to transform your body's healing potential."
Aloha and welcome to Goddess Unleashed. This is Diane Vick, and on this episode, I'm interviewing another guest from the Crappy to Happy series, another author, Dom Brighton. And he has an interesting story that I want him to share. But first off, Dom, let's introduce yourself. Show them all your nice energy.
Oh, yes, indeed. All the energy. Let it all radiate. That's right. Radiate the brain and change the game, as some say. And thanks a bunch, Diane, for having me on your wonderful show, Goddess Unleashed. It's good to let a emperor on the show. I'm not going to say God because, you know, some people may take that the wrong way, but it's definitely be here with you among the other goddesses listening. And for those who don't know me, I'm Dominic Dom Brightman from the land of charm, crime, and crab cakes known as Baltimore, Maryland. And my life motto is advance others to advance yourself. And really, I'm just here because it's a great opportunity to be with you and all the other fabulous authors, sharing our stories of really moments that where we felt like they were crap, but you know what? We turned them around and made them happy moments, because you know what? It's better to be happy instead of crappy. And when you're feeling crappy, you can turn that crap around and turn it into a crab and then probably throw it in a stew or something.
Oh, Dom, you always make me laugh. I can't wait till I appear on your show, which actually happens after this one. So it's kind of funny. But I appear on your show on October 8th. And if any one of my listeners want to go check that out, then check it out, because by the time you hear this, it will have already aired. But I definitely want to jump into something that I think all the authors resonate with, and your story and mine definitely do too, is that obstacles and challenges are actually an opportunity for us to evolve and grow into better versions of ourselves. And I know that there was this phrase that you used in yours that I want you to explain a little bit more. Some gifts are wrapped in adversity. Tell them what that means to you.
Yes, some gifts are wrapped in adversity. It's kind of like the rose with thorns. In this case, when you open up your gift for Christmas, you have to go through like a nice little firewalk of Lego bricks. And then when you finally get to your gift, it's wrapped up in barbed wire. And there's a rubber ducky on top that's talking and taunting you. And once you get past the rubber ducky, the barbed wire, the Lego bricks, and the firewalk, you open your gift and realize you have a lesson that came from an actual lost, because there's this classic phrase, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. And really, that chapter title came from a classic year known as 2012, where we thought that the world was going to end, but all that really happened is that we didn't have Twinkies for a month and got into this car accident on my 21st birthday. And that's actually been one of the best gifts of my life. Like, some folks talk about how they go to prison and they get to that moment of silence and they go through that struggle and they come out saying, man, prison was the best thing to happen to me. Well, I'm glad I cannot say that. I'm glad a car accident that I walked out alive out of was actually one of the best gifts given to me, because really that day was what helped me to have a paradigm shift to actually get closer and closer to doing some more self-development. And one of those self-development keys was through reading. And funny enough, up to that point, I had a part-time job at a library 5 years up to that point. And I didn't love reading that much, because I'm pretty sure you remember, Diane, when you may have gone through school and they give you books that you don't want to read. I remember reading one book and page two, I just fell straight asleep. I was just passed out. And next thing I knew, it was 10 p.m. on a Saturday night. And I'm like, oh, I came to, and I'm like, oh crap, I ain't finished this book. So really just having that moment of getting into a car accident, and then on top of that, a couple weeks later being called in by my boss and her telling me like, hey, you got to shape up here, because in a couple weeks it's going to be another school season and all these other new employees are coming in. She had like 3 or 4 new employees coming in. And folks are going to be looking at me as a leader because I've been there up to 5 years at that point. And to make it even worse, the adversity tree really has a lot of fruit because before the meeting, before the car crash, a month earlier, my father, he went out for a drive and he got lost all the way out into a place called Silver Spring, Maryland, about a good 30 miles away from Baltimore. And we never go to Silver Spring. And he got lost that day. And once we put out a silver alert for him, since he had gray hair and everything, he was found. They admitted him to a hospital. We got to the hospital and they found out he had Alzheimer's. And we were like, oh, man, because the signs were there, like the low memory and everything. But, hey, as we all age, like the memory isn't always up to par where it should be. But if your memory is so bad that you drive 45 minutes outside of your regular territory when you usually go to a grocery store to get groceries or just talk to a couple friends or whatever, then that's really going to be a red flag, especially since they caught him driving on the wrong side of the road to boot. So his life was spared that day, and a whole new life of caregiving really just opened up after that. And I became part-time caregiver on top of full-time college student on top of part-time library assistant. So it was really heck of an adversity that led to me realizing that, hey, maybe I should become a better leader. And I went to a leadership section at the library, picked up a book on leadership by John Maxwell, read that book, changed my life, and became more of a optimist and a more positive thinker. Because even though folks have known me as an optimist, I wasn't as strong. It wasn't rock solid because all this stuff was piling up on me. And I was able to see this caregiving piece as a gift because it helped me to realize that there were still more layers to my father that I haven't seen before he was stricken with Alzheimer's. And the even more deeper into that was seeing the love that my parents had for each other, because they were married together for, they were together for 57 years. And those last 6 years were really telling how much they truly were dedicated to one another, because there'd be times when mom, she was sick before this happened. And there'd be times where she'd be clawing to get towards him because she had heart trouble on top of other things. And my father was sick and we had to change nursing homes and things. And the parking spaces for the certain nursing home, they were all handicapped spaces. They had to walk probably a good half a mile after getting a good parking space to get there. So getting a handicap tag and not being able to walk too long on her own and really just caring for her loved one and just seeing that dedication, that really is an example to folks nowadays that are looking for love, to making sure that you have that person that really cares about you, especially when it comes to the aging piece. So really, yeah, gifts are wrapped up in adversity. Like hopefully it doesn't take a car accident for someone to find personal development. Hopefully it doesn't take that beating with the boss to really get to that point, even though I'm pretty sure we've all had that at least once in our lives in the land of employment. But really just seeing those moments, those setbacks, as really just a launch pad for growth and just making you change your perspective. Because sometimes you just have to have a little change of perspective and find the good moments in the bad moments.
Absolutely. It's all a process. So we all usually hit rock bottom at some point, whether it's a car accident for you or for me, a health crisis or maybe a family illness, because you've experienced that as well. And that gives us an opportunity to start evolving and peeling up. My story is like peeling away the pieces of that onion and finding the new gifts and understanding that, you know, you got to work through these emotions. And we become positive people because we choose to make that choice for ourselves. We took that step for ourselves. And that really is the first step for anyone that wants to change their life, is to begin to make that effort for themselves and go find books like you did and get out of that box, out of that normal cycle. So thank you for sharing that. I think that that's beautiful. I know that Alzheimer's is one of the most difficult diseases for the families. I've experienced it with friends that had grandparents with Alzheimer's and uncle that had Alzheimer's. Tell us a little bit about that experience and how it was an emotional experience for the whole family and how you got through it.
Oh, yeah, it was one heck of an emotional experience, because not only was it gradual decay and a gradual grief, even after the grief happened, still was prepared for it. Like that, anyone going through Alzheimer's right now, you can have anticipatory grief, and it may help, but at the end of the day, it still won't. So kind of a downer, but just some words of wisdom from my experience, because we all deal with grief in different ways. And that might even be better for folks, but really that experience, it helped me to learn more about my father and more of his time in service, because growing up, I knew that my father actually spent time in the service. He actually had 2 combat jumps as an 82nd Division Airborne paratrooper, and he actually fought in World War II. I didn't even know about the World War II piece, because he actually served 12 years total in service. He spent time in as both a paratrooper and in the Army, and he actually got a bunch of service stars and was a decorated official, a decorated officer. And his DD-214 was so darn old, it still had Negroid listed on the DD-214. And that just showed how archaic it was. And it forced us to really seek out veterans benefits. So anyone who may have a loved one and they may have had time in service, if you haven't yet, really tap into those resources right now, because it took us a whole year to get some benefits in right after we found all this paperwork and got it through, because the VA is, oh my God, especially, I'm not even sure now, it's probably even more hellacious now with COVID, but really just finding that paperwork, getting it in, and trying to get as many benefits as you can for your loved one, taking care of them. Because with them, we're able to get some extra equipment, like a nice chair for the shower when we're giving them baths. So it'll be easier for them, a special chair for them to sit in. Heck, even extra medical benefits, because it wasn't until he lost almost all of his memory that we tapped into those resources, because he was a bus driver too after his time in service for a good 35 years. So he had benefits from that job, but we just wanted to get as many benefits for him as possible, since he served the country and he's owed those benefits. So seek him as much as possible, and find the humor too in the moments. And if you can, like, take breaks whenever possible, because both my mother, myself, and an older brother, my, we all had to take turns when it came to doc's appointments. Sometimes after the appointment was over, I'd make sure I drive a little longer so mom would have a longer break to get a nap and other things, because there would be times when he would sundown. Like, while we're trying to go to sleep, he's wide awake, creeping through the house looking for something. We don't know what he's looking for, and scaring the living daylights out of us, and really just dealing with that. And when you wake up later, because funny enough, there was this one time, it was hilarious. He had one of them darn sundown experiences. He thought I was basically a little farmer boy trying to keep him away from poisonous watermelons one time. That's how crazy his memory was and the way his head was working. And I was basically his height with a good 30 extra pounds of muscle compared to him, and he thought I was some little boy trying to keep him from poisonous watermelons. So really just helping him get to bed and really just talking with him, listening to him, and just really going with the flow as much as possible, and switching out, tag teaming out with the other family members, because really that's just moments like that where you just have to really find the humor in any situation to make it go a little easier, get the benefits as much as you can for your loved one if they had time in service, and to also keep self-care in mind, like that, and make sure you're around the right people. Because my mother in church, she would hear it every now and then. It's like, hey, you better be careful. It's usually the caregiver that's the first to go, as opposed to the one that they're taking care of. She used to hear that all the time. And it's been around 3 years since the time of this recording, where she's now 80 and she has lost so much weight, and she hasn't been this light since probably her 30s and 20s. So just basically taking it in stride, making sure you're around people that truly care about you, and making sure that you hear the right things while you're taking care of a loved one, and pay some of the naysayers no mind, and trying to really just be as strong as possible for not only your loved one, but also yourself.
No, absolutely. I think the support system is essential. And even if people aren't dealing with someone that has a chronic illness, I think in order to set yourself up to be able to evolve into something else, you need the same thing. You need a support system. You need people that bring you up, not people that push you down. And that's part of creating boundaries for yourself and separating yourself from those people that make you feel uncomfortable and make you feel less than what you can be. So I think it's great that your mom has achieved so much even through that grief and that loss that was so hard on you guys as a family.
Oh, yeah.
There's a quote that you shared about mom. And she must have said this quote a long time ago. So I want you to tell them what this means to you. God has big plans for you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. God has big plans for you. God has big plans for you. Bigger than any elephant, bigger than any continent. That's right, big plans. And that really was a few years ago, back on the day of the accident, because I was still shell-shocked. Even though I had no physical injuries, I was still mentally shocked that I actually crashed the car on my 21st birthday, no less. I thought I was going to be having a day full of fun and excitement after getting done with IT class, and out of nowhere, crash a car, and then really just being shell-shocked and saw my head was down. It was probably about a good 5 hours after the fact. And she told me to shape up and told me that God has big plans for you because you're still here. Because I couldn't drive the car afterwards for a good 2 months, and she still had her old hoopty from like 97. It was probably about a good 13 years old, and it still got her from point A to point B. It helped me to get from point A to point B. And she said that to really shake me out. And we always need that kind word, because if one good person sees something good in you, you can run for a lifetime. And that's also goes with the fact that two heads better than one, is better to have another person that's an encourager, because we all get down on ourselves. No matter how great of a motivator we may feel that we are on our own, we have to motivate ourselves. And even sometimes motivating yourself isn't always going to work. You always need that other voice. There's always going to be another voice that's really going to be in your head subconsciously, especially if you channel from your childhood. And her just telling me that really encouraged me, and that led to me actually being able to get back out of that and not only be a part of this book, but publish 2 other books and just talking with wonderful folks like yourself and all over the world. And it's just only the tip of the iceberg. So there's no telling what else God has planned for me and those that truly take advantage of the gifts that they have been given.
Absolutely. And it seems like her little quote set you in the direction to find your path. And you know, the story's still not written. There's still so many other things to be written into your story. One of the things that I talk about a lot on my show is how all diseases that develop in the body have 2 components. So there's the physical stress that happens in our body, our genetic predispositions. And then there's the emotional stress that we experience in life. And I'm sure that your dad experienced a lot of stress going through the war in that time when there was so much racism and they were treated unjustly. And a lot of that stress has to have taken part in part of how he develops his disease. So I think it's important for you to remember that in your journey, to make sure that you give yourself those supportive things for yourself so that you evolve and work through anything that you may be experiencing. Because when we synergistically work on the 2 things, that physical inflammation that happens, and then working on the emotional, which is the boosting up, the getting, you know, people that pep up your step and motivators and coaches and all this stuff, is really when we are able to live the life we dream, but also have that healthier body. So I do invite you to notice that if anything comes up in the future. Now, I wanted to go back into how helping others is such a gift, because I think for me, it's such a gift to help people. When I see them get healthier, it just brings so much joy into my life, seeing how I've changed others. How does that experience affect you?
Ah, it's a great experience indeed. And I'm pretty sure you're living testament to that yourself with all the work that you're doing, helping women become badasses indeed. So with really my experience, has been one hell of a great experience, because I've learned that really the best thing to do is really help people that need help. And if you help someone else, you'll feel good in return, because in lighting other candles, your candle doesn't get any dimmer. And really, we're all metaphorical candles, and we all get to light each other up in a good way. Now, if you light someone up and they become a metaphorical giant blunt of weed and they do something stupid, that's a whole nother situation. But that's not what I'm referring to here. But really just helping folks out, like, hey, if someone dropped their money, just giving them back their money. Heck, even remember one time going in a grocery store with my older brother. This homeless guy, he dropped a dime. And we both looked at each other, made eye contact, me and the homeless guy. And then he threatened to cut me if I tried to rob him. I'm like, what the hell am I going to rob you for? And I just still went to the ground, picked up a dime and gave it to him. And then he just rushed in and just great gave me a big old hug because I handed him his money back. And just little moments like that just basically reassured for me that little gestures count. Like if, like there may be big time philanthropists just donating millions and billions of dollars to all these wonderful nonprofits to help other people. It doesn't have to be that big, like a kind gesture, like a smile, a kind word, a hug once we get out of this COVID crap, of course. And really just little things like that can help you out. Heck, even remember one time it was at the end of a Toastmasters meeting, and this was the year after I was done being a president of a club, and the new officers were in. These two ladies were talking. They were asking me for my feedback about something. I gave them the feedback, and they weren't even paying attention to the feedback I gave them. And I felt a little certain kind of way after that, because it's like, I'm offering you help here. I'm still kind of a fresh face here. I still got some wealth of knowledge here. Like, just because you're 3+ decades ahead of me doesn't mean that I don't have something to offer here. And after that meeting, I got a text message from another member who saw the moment, and she was like, hey, Dom, I enjoy seeing you at the meetings. Thanks for being a positive face. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So people notice certain moments when you may be down or may have had something unfair done to you. It may not be at a bigger level nowadays of what you may see on the media, but just little things matter. And helping people is one of the best things ever. And you get to help yourself in the process, because if you help enough people get what they want, you'll eventually get what you want, especially if it's something that wasn't even on your radar.
I agree. And that actually made me think of something. So now I'm working remotely from home, but when I was in the hospital, we were very close to the chapel. And I remember there was always this lady who had to go through all of these doors, and she was a little bit handicapped, and you know, she needed a little help. Somehow I ended up being there to open the doors for her. And it was like the smile on her face and the conversation that came after it was something that I absolutely didn't expect. I didn't expect her to even say thank you, because a lot of people in Miami don't even say thank you for things. But when she did, and we had this conversation, and she was so thankful that all I did was open the door for her. You really see how one little thing can change someone's day and bring a smile to their face. So I think there is a lot of value in doing those little things, because the little things add up to something big for someone. You never know what they're going through in that day, and maybe they just needed a smiling face to open the door or pick up a penny.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Doesn't have to be a shiny one either.
No. Any little gesture helps. But before we wrap up, because we have about 2 minutes, I know you have two books. You want to let them know about your books?
Sure thing. The first one's called Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself. And the follow-up book to that is Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. So feel free to try to say those 7 times fast for his tongue twister. Those are 2 self-help books under 100 pages. That's really inspirational and motivational, because people don't have time for 200 pages. So if you want to advance in your career, if you want to create and develop a positive mental attitude that's rock solid, and to maintain that level of performance and have a higher level of self-awareness, pick up those 2 magical books after picking up 5,000 copies of Crappy to Happy.
Absolutely. I think they need to check out that book, because there's so many good authors in there. And I'm, you know, working on the interviews as we speak, and there's so many authors that had different stories of obstacles and different things that really were challenging for them. And I'm joining your episode with actually one of the other authors. Her name is Catherine Power, and she's going to be on the second half. So anyone that's listening, make sure you stay tuned so you can hear that part of Crappy to Happy. We'll just give Dom another minute to explain anything he wants and how people can reach out to you and follow your podcast, because I want them to definitely check it out and listen to all the other series on there.
Woohoo! Well, thank you, Diane. You are a delight You are a delight, a ray of sunshine in someone's day, especially mine, and for the countless others you help. Thanks for this wonderful opportunity to share with you and your fabulous, badass women goddesses, and also the wonderful men probably listening too. And for those who want to keep up with what I'm doing, head over to dombrightman.com for a free gift, 21 lessons learned from 2+ years of podcasting if you want to start, grow, and manage a podcast. And check out the Going North podcast too for Diane's episode and all other fabulous authors, because the goal is to interview over 1,000 authors. So you too listening, if you're an author, you have an opportunity to be on the show as well, because my life motto is advance others to advance yourself, and helping others in the business of immortality like Diane, myself, and the other folks that put pen to paper and publish their work, want to get their voices out there and help remind folks that reading is fundamental. It's fun and it's good for your mentals.
Well, thank you. I'm glad for you letting me know about the podcast, because I'm going to hit a year around the time this episode airs. So I've got to check it out to see how I can make this even better. Thank you for joining us, Dom. It was a great episode. This is Diane Vick. Aloha.
With Goddess Unleashed, Diane Vick. Every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Diane's powerful perspective inspires transformation by tapping into the body's natural healing potential. Diane has a master's in nursing, is a hypnotist, and health coach. One of her favorite statements is, "Your medical history doesn't have to be your fate." She proved this inspirational message by overcoming her own debilitating genetic condition. Tune in weekly for enlightening ways to find your own unique wellness. Let's thrive together as we develop a mind, body, and soul connection to transform your body's healing potential.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, "Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network." For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Hi, this is Diane Vick. Did you know that your medical history doesn't have to be your fate? I can tell you more on a free discovery call. I help women with anxiety and gut issues overcome their symptoms using holistic treatments to release trauma and pain. Schedule your free discovery call today and see what I have to offer. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
This is Diane Vick from Diane's Wellness. Are you sick of the overwhelming stress and anxiety, or maybe your severe digestive issues and you're looking for a way out? I help women with anxiety and gut issues overcome their overwhelming symptoms using holistic treatments to release trauma and pain. It's pretty simple to reach me. All you have to do is schedule a free discovery call. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Schedule your free call today. See you soon.
So what is crappy to happy? First of all, I'm Diane Vick. I'm a registered nurse, an author,
a professor, and I've suffered much pain and heartache with my physical symptoms of my disability and my chronic illness. And I created this class, Crappy to Happy, because I wanted to support frontline workers, policemen, firefighters, nurses, doctors that are still at those front lines dealing with patients and clients that have COVID-19. And they are experiencing extra stress because now they're exposing themselves to this virus and also their family and loved ones. What I have learned in my 7-year journey of chronic pain and illness and autoimmune disease is there are ways to calm your nervous system and boost your immune system that can be easy and effortless. And of course, it's not going to take you 7 years like it did me. So I'm here to guide you in this short program to give you some simple strategies that you can help relax and calm your nervous system during times of stress like this COVID-19 pandemic.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Aloha and welcome to Goddess Unleashed. This is Diane Vick, and on today's episode, I am interviewing Catherine Power. And she is one of the authors that is in the Crappy to Happy series with me. And I'm excited to bring her on this show, not only because her website is so awesome and there's so many things that align with what I do, but I believe as someone that has suffered so many chronic illnesses and so many diseases and that the stories that are out there of people that have made it through really need to get to the population around us, because everyone's feeling so stressed out right now, and that triggers the stress response in our bodies, and it can make our bodies completely fall apart as that stress response stays on mode when we are constantly fighting that stress around us. And I know a lot of people are feeling stressed out right now, just because of all the civil unrest that's happening, the quarantine that we're in. So I want to definitely bring inspiration in here with Catherine. So I'm going to show you Catherine now. I want her to explain a little bit about who she is and her story in Crappy to Happy.
Oh, Diane, thank you so much for having me join you. It's really been a pleasure to get to know some of the work that you do and how in alignment we are with each other with some of our stories. I'm born and raised in Torrance, California, and I've been here 60 years this month, actually. My family's been in Torrance for over 100 years, and I am retired from corporate. I used to work for a medical center, 20 years in public relations, and then 15 years for a Japanese automaker, until I found out that I would not be able to return to work due to my health challenges that I had suffered with since the very day I was born. I think your question was, why am I in Crappy to Happy? I just feel like I have a story to be told, not only from the point of view from being a woman and trying to help other women to listen to their bodies and understand that we know when there's something wrong with our bodies, but also to raise awareness of that it's always so important to get a second opinion. I know that there are many medical professionals in the environment today, in the world today, and there are specialties, but just because somebody specializes in something doesn't mean that they're going to be the cure-all and the end-all, that there's always another opinion to be found. And if I didn't go out and seek another opinion, I probably would not be here today. So that's how I ended up wanting to share my story in Crappy to Happy.
Well, that is amazing. And I agree with you. I think the advocating for yourself and going outside the box sometimes, because that's what I try to do in this podcast, is really bring things in from the alternative realm and also the conventional realm, then in order to do that, you have to advocate for your health. You have to go out there and seek information. And sometimes that means going to a lot of specialists. I have been to a gazillion on my journey to where I'm at. And thankfully, I'm not taking any more prescriptions, but it used to be a time where I lived at doctor's office and I kept going to get other opinions to figure out what was going on until finally I decided some light bulb switch went on and I said, I need to go to a geneticist and figure out what is going on with me, because there's no way that someone that is 35 years old, now at this point 42, has so many things going on in her body that everything is shutting down, that there's not a connection. So I think advocacy is a huge part. Sometimes you need to find friends in your area or family members that know a little bit about medicine to help guide you where to go, so then you can go that extra step and advocate for yourself. So I love that you're sharing your story. And I know sometimes to share the story, it can actually be a little bit overwhelming for you to come out like this and share the story of your journey. Was there any kind of a stress response going on in your body?
Never. Never. I've always been an open book from a very early age. I went through a very traumatic experience 20 years ago with my son. And the day after my traumatic experience with my son happened, we were advocating and sharing and going public with radio interviews, with news coverage, authoring a law. So I've always had that advocate spirit in me. I've always had that feeling of, we need to, when there's unjust with something that's happening with our body or with our babies, we need to not be silent, because we can make change happen, but we can also help other people. And so I've never been afraid to share my story. Never.
That's amazing. And I'm so proud of you that you have that gift within you. Because for me, it was really a lot of effort. Like, a lot of people that have been following my show, they know my biggest fears was the fear of being heard, and the fear of being seen, because as a child, actually made me hide all my from the world, which meant I didn't speak up for myself and I didn't stand out like I am right now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's amazing that you have that in you and you've been pushing towards this all this time.
Yes.
One that I noticed when I was looking at your website is the wholehearted and courage. I think courage is so important. And the fact that you use a heart is like my absolute favorite. I don't know if you know, but when I wrote my book, I actually did a little drawing to inspire me. And my favorite shape is the heart. And in the middle, I wrote the word love. So tell us a little bit about how you came about coming up with this little title and, you know, your journey towards wholehearted.
Well, you know, like you, as a young girl, I was always drawing hearts and I always liked pink hearts. And, you know, I've always had heart problems from a very early age, but never really knew what they were. And so through my 30s and 40s, I went through a series of a lot of heart issues with a lot of cardiac ablations where they zap the arrhythmia, the misfiring in the heart. And I've had restarts of the heart, and I've always had heart complications going on throughout my life, but nobody ever had an answer for them. So it was really easy for me to connect my love of hearts with how am I experiencing these heart issues all my life. So when I was working on wanting to create a personal brand for myself, there was no question about it. It was going to be a heart. And then my story was about my heart. And then, of course, as we're going to find out later on in this interview, how I found out that I had a hole in my heart that went undetected for 55 years. So all of a sudden it's like, well, obviously it's my whole heart. And whole heart is H-O-L-E. So I had five or six variations of the heart with the hole in it. And then I decided at the very end that I wanted to add kind of like that medical cross in it, because I didn't want it to be perceived as a hole in my heart from a lost relationship or a broken heart. This was more of a medical situation. So Wholehearted Courage was born. I started off with Catherine's Courage, and then I'm like, I didn't want my name attached to it. So Wholehearted Courage totally made sense. And that launched my little brand. And here I am today and crappy to happy, sharing my whole heart. H-O-L-E, heart.
I love it. And I love the story and the power that you brought into it and really aligned it and made it your own. And I know that you want to talk about this hole in your heart. And I remember reading on your paper, open heart surgery. When I was in nursing school, that was the most impressive surgery I've ever seen. It was an eye opener and it gave me chills down my spine because I can't imagine the amount of recovery and the impact that it has on the body when you go through something so significant. And I know you had a lot of complications in your surgery. So can you tell them a little bit about that procedure and what transpired after it?
Sure. Well, first of all, when most people hear of open heart surgery, they think of somebody that has heart disease, that has blocked arteries or a faulty valve. My situation was very different. I had a gigantic hole in my heart, which is called an atrial septal defect, which is actually a congenital heart defect. And again, it went undiagnosed for 55 years, although I was suffering at a very early age with congestive heart failure and all these other issues. And, you know, really short of breath and fatigue and edema and just on and on and on. So the open heart surgery was actually the only way that they were going to be able to close the hole in the heart. Whereas when you have a smaller hole in your heart, they can actually go in through a catheter and close the hole with a mesh plug. But my hole was so huge that they had no choice but to go through open heart surgery. The surgery itself was very successful. The cardiac thoracic surgeon said it was the biggest hole that they had ever seen. I basically did not have a septal wall between my two atriums. So they had to rebuild a wall between the two chambers of my heart. Surgery went great. Recovery from the hospital actually went great. It wasn't until I got home and 3 weeks later that everything started to go downhill again. And I went into massive heart failure and I had blood clots and edema and they were worried about pulmonary hypertension and just an endless array of things that transpired after the closing of the hole in my heart. And what I attribute that to is that my heart had been operating for 55 years, struggling one way of working with oxygen coming in and no good oxygen going back out to the organs. So my heart needed to recalibrate. I mean, it's not like you close the hole and then everything is perfect. So it took me a good 3 to 4 years for my heart to recalibrate working under this new system, if you will. And as a result of that, just a whole lot of things occurred. And so after that, I was diagnosed with severe sleep apnea, stopped breathing 55 times an hour. So how was that never diagnosed all these times I was in the hospital? Severe deviated septum, you know, so no wonder I can't breathe. Not only is there a hole in my heart, but my septum is crooked and I stopped breathing 55 times an hour. So everything was just like one thing after the next. And it's like, wow, 55 years to get to these things that I was born with. So luckily I'm here today to share my story, but it was pretty challenging. And the complications were very, you know, scary, but I just always kept a positive outlook and knew that I was going to pull through. And, you know, it was perfect for me to be in this book, Crappy to Happy, because that's exactly where I was.
I can imagine that transition from that surgery and your body showing you all these new symptoms and signs was really a crappy experience. So you must have come a long way.
Yes.
And I'll be sharing your story.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I've also had plenty of misdiagnoses and I also have an invisible illness. So I have an autoimmune disease, which went undiagnosed for a very, very long time. And until I began to advocate for myself and go out there and try to merge the two worlds, which if I wouldn't have become a nurse, I wouldn't have even gone into the alternative realm to try and find answers. The interesting thing is when I went to actually get diagnosed by a geneticist, she was like, well, Diane, your pain is pretty much under control. You're doing all these alternative things that are working for you. I think you're on the right track. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Coming from a medical doctor, because most of the times they don't believe in alternative treatments. On your journey, has it taken you into that alternative realm?
Oh, absolutely. I probably started in my late 20s because I was always seeking answers. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Why is my digestion horrible? Why do I have you know, asthma, why, so many things. Why chronic pain? Why this? Why that? And I sought out every alternative method there was, from acupuncture to energy healing to, you know, digestive testing for SIBO and all the saliva tests and the breath tests and everything. And, you know, ideally, a lot of those methods helped address the issue, but nothing was going to address the fact that there was a hole in my heart that was causing all of my organs and all of my systems to not operate properly. So until that hole in the heart was discovered, which came after quitting my cardiologist of 35 years and going for a new doctor who found the hole in my heart on the first diagnostic test, nothing else really could start to go through repair and healing until that hole was closed. So since then, I've been doing a lot of alternative methods for healing, the digestive tract and the, you know, the chronic pain and the inflammation and all those things. So I'm a huge advocate of alternative health. I know that there's a place for the medical doctors. If I didn't have the hole in my heart closed, I probably would have not survived, because my heart was just a big aneurysm. But yeah, I'm with you all the way. In fact, when I read your website, I'm like, ooh, I really like her. I like the stuff that she does. So I'm all for that, definitely. And you know, every practitioner I went to wanted to know what was the cause for my heart failure. Well, my doctors, my cardiologists, nobody ever had a cause for it because nobody ever knew I had the hole in my heart. So, you know, no wonder I had horrible digestion, because there wasn't enough blood pumping through my body to have healthy digestion. So it's all a cumulative, it was a, you know, such a team effort. And that's why I share on my Facebook and my webpage about my healing partners, because it's not just the doctor that closed the hole in my heart. There's a whole team of holistic healers that was part of my recovery.
I love that you said that, because a lot of people don't realize that when we say we're going into the alternative realm, that it's not going to be one person that supports you. You have to find what works for you on your journey. And that includes combining conventional and alternative, because yes, if you have a medical condition like yours that needs to be corrected with surgery, then you're not going to really get to the root of the problem unless you fix that problem. And then you can start venturing into the alternative realm and see what works for you. Some clients, you know, might like acupuncture. Some clients maybe do better with Reiki. And it depends on the person and them advocating for themselves to actually find what works for them. It's interesting to me that you had digestive issues too, because I don't know if you know, but my book is The Truth About IBS and Anxiety.
Yes.
And in that book, I actually talk about the root cause of symptoms like digestive symptoms and chronic pain in the body, that there's a link between the emotional root, which is the emotions that we have, the self-limiting beliefs that we have from childhood, the things that maybe from birth trauma, right, that are ingrained within our bodies that actually create symptoms when we're under stress. In my journey, I've noticed that there's a huge connection between my chronic pain and things that happened in my past. And as I've started working with clients to help them understand what is that emotion that's creating this reaction to keep happening, is when really the healing process happens. And I know you did have a traumatic experience. So I want you to explain a little bit about your birth trauma so we can bring together that there is a connection between emotional and physical stress.
Absolutely. Well, I was the third baby, only girl of my mother. And I was born in 1960. And lo and behold, I came out butt first. So that was called Frank breech or double breech. So my bottom appeared first to greet my doctor. And then my legs, as you can imagine, kind of spread like little fans and kind of got stuck in the entryway, if you will. So that was a very traumatic experience. Of course, I don't know anything. And my legs were folded up over my left shoulder. And my left arm was tangled underneath it. And when they pulled my legs down, they just sprung right back up like a rubber band. So according to my mom, of course, there's no pictures from 1960, but according to my mom, my legs sprang back up like rubber bands for quite a while. And I had to wear like 3 or 4 cloth diapers to hold my legs down and wear braces and all that stuff. And so obviously that's a birth trauma that I'm not aware of, but fast forward 55 years, it kind of, you know, it could actually tie all together that, okay, if my legs were crossed over my left shoulder, crushing my heart probably as I came through the birth canal, probably crushing my nose, you know, so I was probably born with a broken nose. They figured out I was born with a broken wrist. I had dislocated hips. So I probably, you know, maybe, I don't want to say broke a hole in my heart, but I mean, it just, the whole place, everything was defective. And as a little tiny baby at 7 pounds, they don't know those things. They didn't know I had a broken wrist. They probably didn't know I had a broken nose. So it's interesting to connect the dots back to see how my birth trauma could have contributed to where I am today. Definitely.
I think you did a great job connecting it to it. And I didn't realize how traumatic that was, but that is intense. Like you had so many different things for this little baby. Poor thing.
I don't feel sorry for me. I always felt sorry for my mom.
Yeah. And the moms really do get a lot of stress from these experiences. I didn't know until a couple weeks ago that I had a traumatic birth too. So I was supposed to be born on Christmas, but the doctor decided, number one, my dad wasn't coming in the room. Number two, he was getting this baby out as fast as he could.
Yeah.
He put my mom half asleep. And I don't understand how that works, because this was 1977. How do you put a lady to sleep and then somehow she pushes a baby out her vagina? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But he did that. And then he has to have used tools to get me out. So my birth trauma not only caused stress for my body, but it also caused stress on my mom's body. And knowing what I know and the family history that I have, I am pretty confident that part of that trauma impacted my brain and learning disabilities developed, and that stress response started all on that day.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, especially if they used triceps back in those days, it's like, you know, we're just talking like great big tongs, you know, that's scary. I'm sure it contributes to that. Yeah.
Those forceps. I mean, we don't know. We don't know enough about
traumatic births. I said triceps. Forceps.
So I have a signature phrase. It's something that I say a lot. And I think it really resonates with your story as well. And I want to know if you have one. So mine is, your medical history doesn't have to be your fate, which basically means you can make the decision to change your life. And you obviously have to start by advocating for yourself. What would you say your signature phrase is?
Well, Diane, I have two of them. The serious one is, it would have been really helpful to know that my heart had a giant hole. And that just is as it relates to all of the issues that I've experienced over the last 55 years. But where I really like to tell my story is the lighthearted approach to living with health challenges, and to always find humor in the situation. And one day before I left for my open heart surgery, when I was still working in the corporate world, my boss said to me, he says, "Oh, you're going to do fine." And after heart surgery, when I went to see him about 8 weeks later, he says, "Oh my gosh, you look great." And I said, "Well, remember, I was defective, not dilapidated." And all I can think of is like, just because I went through open heart surgery doesn't mean I have to look like crap, you know? I still wanted to be that bright person. I still wanted to exude confidence and humor in telling my story. So it just kind of made me think of that Disney movie Cars, you know, the old dilapidated cars. They were happy as can be. And that's kind of how I felt. I'm defective, not dilapidated. So that would be one of them.
I love it. That's funny. Actually, now that I think about it, when I started my journey, because I had so many things going wrong, I mean, half of my body was numb for 20 years. So back then, when I first got married to my husband, whenever I had something wrong with me, I would tell him, "Babe, you married a lemon," you know, because I was a lemon. But I would laugh at it, because now I'm not a lemon. I've completely transformed all of that.
Not at all. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So we have a few minutes left. We have about 3 minutes. So give us a little bit more about your crappy to happy story before we close it out.
Well, basically my story talks about how I struggled, you know, with so many health challenges for so many years. And you know, couldn't run, couldn't climb stairs, never could understand why. Doctors, you know, oh, you've got asthma, you've got a heart murmur. It wasn't until I was 23 when I finally got a full-time job and I didn't pass the new hire physical. And that was kind of like the beginning of, this is probably more serious than just having asthma, you know, throughout my childhood. So I share the story about going through all these challenges, but actually being in my comfort zone with one cardiologist for so many years, because I worked in medical center in public relations. I knew who this doctor was. I was in my comfort zone. I trusted him. I delivered a baby in 1999 that I should not have survived through if they'd known I had a hole in my heart, they would have never had me be in labor for 39 hours. I thought I would die. And it's, you know, the story is listening to your body. I knew there was something wrong. And when I went to that cardiologist after 35 years, I said, look, you need to dig deeper. There is something wrong. I simply cannot breathe. And that's not right for a 42-year-old woman. And he was visibly insulted, I believe. And I worked with a life coach and I went to see a new doctor. And here I am today with a new cardiologist who I love, a complete medical team that understands who I am and where I'm at. And I just love to share that in the Crappy at a Happy book to offer hope and inspiration to women who face health challenges, that there is hope out there and there is healing and that you need to do it with humor.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Humor and fun is an essential part of any healing process. I think your story is so inspirational and really shows people that you can go out there and take that extra step. And sometimes you do need a little support system. And that's an amazing thing that you had a life coach to guide you through it. Yes. Before we close out, let people know, where can they reach you? What's your website? Any information about
you? Well, my website is Wholehearted Courage, and that's Whole, H-O-L-E. I also have on LinkedIn, my name is Catherine Power, and it's spelled P-A-O-U-R. And I also have a Facebook page, Wholehearted Courage, and again, that's Whole, H-O-L-E, Hearted Courage.
Okay, so thank you, Catherine, for joining us on this podcast, Goddess Unleashed. I think you have a very powerful story, and I'm glad you were able to share it here and to be one of the authors on this book. It's so amazing that you have shared your journey and really inspired people to take their health to the next level. This is Diane Vick, Goddess Unleashed, and thank you for listening. Aloha.
Aloha.
Be sure to connect with Goddess Unleashed Diane next time, as each episode offers a unique synergy of conventional and alternative modalities to empower personal transformation. Diane empowers individuals to find their own unique wellness by looking outside of the box. Her inspirational message resonates throughout her show to shed light on the power of the mind in the healing process. Tune in every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Goddess Unleashed with Diane Vick on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Let's thrive together as we develop a mind, body, and soul connection to transform your body's healing potential. Take advantage of Diane's services at dianevick.com. That's DianeVich.com.